Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. It's Jessica Regan here, delighted to tell you that Big Speeches returns with a host of workshops for spring 2023. Our communications workshop, Big Speeches, will take place online on the last Sunday of each month, March through to May inclusive. So that's March 26th, April 30th and May 28th, all at 3 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time and all online. Go to guiltyfeminist.com/bigspeeches to secure your place. We can't wait to see you, to help you take space, find your voice, and get the most out of the year ahead.
I'm a feminist, but I've got a violent son.
There's more.
Yeah, could be in that. So recently, he's less so now. He's seven. There's no comedy in that. I recently spent 2 years on a wait list and he's finally got his place in our local ninja school.
What?
Yeah.
Ninja school?
Yeah. He goes to ninja school.
Literal ninja school?
Yeah. Wait.
What? Not like just karate? Wait. Ninja?
Ninja school. It's called ninja school.
Fucking hell.
2 year wait list.
Oh, I can see why.
And I thought he'd go there and learn. They get very cute outfits. I thought he's going to learn discipline, respect, composure, and perhaps the ability to move around even slightly quietly. But it turns out that it's actually just really full-on fighting. Full-on Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He's learned kicking, punching, shuriken throwing, and grappling. Really effective grappling. Now he can take me out from the waist.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you ever lift your son? Because you love to lift.
I can lift my son, yeah.
Can you lift him above, right above your head?
I can lift him above my head.
God, you're so strong.
I've got a big PB this morning I've been working towards for 2 years.
Is that a personal best?
Yes. Got a 100-kilogram front squat. It's good, isn't it?
Wow. Thanks. Amazing. You're so strong. I've got so little body strength. I wonder if you could lift me.
I'd love to have a go, Debs. I know I could. I definitely could lift you, by the way.
No.
Yeah, I could.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
I could lift you off the floor for reps.
Easy.
But like how? Just like
I don't know how to do it Yeah, I'd want your clothes too nice. I just like grab on.
Yeah, so that's the reason.
An area.
Let's.
We could do a piggyback. I could do squats with you in a piggyback.
I'd be down for that. But I really would worry about damaging you.
You wouldn't damage me.
Really?
Yeah. Do it. She's in a miniskirt.
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about hurting you.
You won't hurt me.
All right. Well, let's do it. Let's see if you can do it once.
Okay. I think if we'd had longer to work out the logistics, it could have been more spectacular.
Put it in the end of a show.
Yeah. Lovely.
That was thrilling and exciting. That was thrilling and exciting. It was like a roller coaster. Sorry, I've just got to open my notes to get my amorphous butts back.
Wonder why you're not allowed red wine in Hall 1. Really funny sign at the bar, isn't it? No red wine in Hall 1. What has someone done with red wine in this hall?
I'm a feminist, but I fancy Boris Becker.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
Well, I'm out of date. Has he cancelled?
Well, I mean, legally, yes. He's been sent to jail for bankruptcy fraud.
Oh, I think you can still fancy a fraudster.
You can fancy the Tinder swindler. I mean, that's a different kind of fraud, isn't it? That's a different kind of fraud.
That's a different type of swindler. Different.
I mean, definitely don't fancy the Tinder.
Let's have a look at him. This
okay, but I'll tell you what I fancy.
Show me his face and let me judge him.
Okay, all right.
Who's that? Daniel Radcliffe.
I'll tell you.
That used to be Simon Cowell before. Fuck knows what happened there. Absolute there mess they've okay, made of that one, haven't they? Whoever he's got doing these bits has fucked it. He looks like a little baby crow. Someone's stuck little hairs on like a ball sack, doesn't he now, Simon Cowell? He's an advert for not getting it all.
Yeah.
Boris Becker. Yeah, I don't get that, actually.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. He's...
He?
Melted since I last had a look at him.
Okay. Boris Becker was the hottest tennis player, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He won Wimbledon when he was super, super young. Like, he was a teenager, wasn't he, when he won Wimbledon?
Little ginger baby.
He was very... I think he's just got a thing about him. But then his wife was literally pregnant and in labour when he shagged a waitress in the broom cupboard of a restaurant. She was literally... Now, most people know the broom cupboard in the restaurant story because that broom cupboard led to a paternity suit because she got pregnant. No. When they say you can't get pregnant standing up, but that's obviously not true.
Oh, well, I hope we haven't created a child with that lift I just did there.
I hope we have. That'd be the most feminist child.
It would be the most feminist child of all time.
If one of us is pregnant, or both...
Trunchbull meets Wednesday Adams.
I mean, Trunchbull Adams. Can you imagine the joy? Most people know that story because he got knocked up the person, whoever it was. I think it was a waitress in a broom cupboard. And I apologise to the person who, if you're saying, well, I wasn't a waitress, I was this, and it wasn't a broom cupboard, it was a hallway, whatever. But it was that's the headline of the story is that.
Yeah.
And she got pregnant, and then he said, that's not my baby. I couldn't possibly be because my wife was in labour at the time. And she went, well, please spit on this stick. And he said, no. And she said, well, I've nicked one of your hairs, and it is your baby. Something like that. Ooh. The details might be completely wrong and not factual, but that's the
fun
idea
to listen
it.
To this story though.
It's definitely the truth. The top line is he knocked up someone while his wife was in labor.
Yeah.
So as feminist crushers go, problematic faves and anti-feminist crushers go, Boris Becker is one of the worst.
Yeah.
He's now though
also got really ugly. So maybe that...
No, don't say that.
So maybe that is actually quite feminist of you to
I just
want a little
fancy,
go on him.
If I fancied a man when he was young and lovely...
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, old and lovely.
He looks like Alan Sugar now, though, Debs.
Yeah, but I still see the young person in... I still see young 19-year-old Wimbledon winner there when I look at him.
Yeah.
It's the same way as I can still see... if I meet Jeremy Irons, I'll still see him as Charles Ryder from the original Brideshead Revisited.
Look, I say this as someone who fancies old men. One of my earliest childhood crushes was on Gandalf.
I remember this, off Crushed, that Margaret Caborn Smith show.
Yeah.
So funny. That was the funniest episode of Crushed there's ever been. Do you guys listen to Crushed? Oh my God, it's so funny. It's Margaret Caborn Smith.
I've listened to them all.
Talks to people about their first crushes. So I talked about a school teacher.
Wicks episode is amazing. There's some amazing episodes.
Amazing ones. But none is funnier than listening to Jess Foster Q justify her crush on Gandalf. Not Ian McKellen, the character Gandalf, by saying, well, what was it? I lost my granddad.
I did lose a granddad very young.
God, I cried laughing listening to that podcast. Oh,
I fancy,
God.
And still do a bit fancy Gandalf. And even I think Boris Becker looks a bit old.
There. He's got power, hasn't he, Gandalf, though? Like
more than one power. Fucking
he
very
give,
powerful.
Like, I
one
feel...
of the most powerful of all wizards of all time, arguably. So
he could give you...
Stick that in your pipe.
Surely he could give you exactly a magical orgasm, do. Couldn't he, Gandalf?
Yeah. You'd hope, wouldn't you? If you imagine if you've got all those skills, but you're shit in the sack. What? He can transform the powers of an earth wind.
But can't find the clitoris.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just be old white man, though, wouldn't it? It would be like that. It'd be like, what? You can literally part an ocean, but you can't find the G-spot.
Yeah.
Fucking typical. Do you think Moses...
There is something.
When he was... she was down there and she's like, well, maybe if I set fire to it. Burning bush joke, a little bit of
really nice,
a little bit of Bible
really
humour,
nice.
gang. I didn't spend all those
brilliant.
Years on my knees for nothing.
There's a lovely yes, Deb.
Like a little prayer can take me there.
Just like left it on your own
Jesus.
For that bit. Oh, okay,
it's a Jesus
yeah.
song. That's very Madonna's nice. Biblical past coming out, and she sort of sexed love up it. Jesus, didn't she?
Love it.
Anyway,
love
I'm basically
the idea that gods and
is I think what we've learned here. Do you want to do an I'm a feminist part?
Sure. I'm a feminist, but my son has started at ninja school, where he's learning Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And the first time I went to pick him up, you watch the last 15 minutes, so they do a shuriken battle, and then they all have to kneel in a line on the floor. And all these, they're all between 5 and 8 years old, and all together. They chant, there is no wrong, all right, way to be, so I will just be me. And then all together they go, oofs, and they slap the mat at the same time. And I cried out my eyes.
This is a cult, Jess.
I cried out my eyes.
It's a fucking cult.
It's lovely, thank you very much. Are you listening? There is no wrong, all right, way to be, so I will just be me. I wept.
Do you? Is that your morning mantra now?
Yeah, I think it's.
No,
be
it is
all
nice that a young
mantras.
Generation of children are being raised as ninjas.
ninjas.
Oh,
my! For reference, my son isn't really that violent anymore, but he's loud, like he's heavy of foot. Do you know what I mean? We thought there was something wrong with our house because if. If it's in the room above, it's like, boom, 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 boom. But it's just every house we're in. But, oh, God, every neighbour we've ever had, every guest we've ever had has been like, Jew, God, is everything all right up there? And it's like, yeah, he's just taking a step from one side of the room to the other. Boom, boom. I genuinely
what,
thought
like
he
Jurassic
could...
Pop, where the water
I'm prepared to pay a tenner a week just on the hope of learning to tiptoe by the age of 12.
Because ninjas, that's the thing about them, is that
they're
you can't hear them coming.
Sneak around. This lad's not sneaking around.
I'm a feminist, but if nobody judged me when I was a really old lady, I would love to be exactly like Jennifer Coolidge's character in White Lotus. Oh. Now, obviously, I would have to change my identity or people would harshly judge me.
Right.
But what I'm questioning is if I was good for my whole life and really tried hard to do all the right things, and I knew, like, I had 5 years of my life left. I don't know how I would know that, but in this scenario, I do. Would it be all right to escape for the last 5 years and just go to White Lotus and be irritating and drink rosé? And, like, her lack of self-awareness. She's not very old, by the way. I'm just saying, could I do that bit of my life at the end? Could I just go, oh, I'm going to take a few years off feminism right at the end. No one will miss me. I'll just loiter around with fabulous gay men in palazzos and have no self-awareness. Could I?
Yes.
Oh, my God, you've earned it, babe.
I feel by that age, I will have. 2 years. I don't say 2 years. 5 years is probably too much. I might get a bit bored. But 2 years, 18 months even, would be good enough. A year.
I don't plan to have...
6 months of Jennifer
Coolidge. You've got to do it.
I'm really,
6 months?
I'm really lowering the timeline.
5 years. You enjoy it.
I think a good year where I could just holiday in different places for each season, and then I'd die in the last one. That'd be fine. In an intriguing way.
Yeah.
How about that?
Please do. I want that for you.
I think... So I'll have to change my name. But so if you ever, in many years' time, if you're ever at a very glamorous holiday resort and there's a woman in a large hat with huge sunglasses who seems quite old and she's only known as the White Lotus, it will be me. Now, how I'll get away with this is I'm going to stage my own death. When I get very old... I've worked out how to stage my own death, by the way. And this is only when I'm very old. If you put on Twitter that you've died, people believe it. I'm going to change.
Is that
my...
it? Is that how you do it?
I'm going to change my
you
Wikipedia.
Put it on Twitter.
I'm going to change my Wikipedia page. I'm going to put it on Twitter, and then I'm going to have a guilty feminist memorial show,
right?
Which you will host, I assume. Jess.
Oh right, yeah, no problem.
I mean, you'll be very old as well, but not as old as me, I'm sure. And it'll be full of elderly. You know, it'll just be Sarah Pascoe being pushed out in a wheelchair and things like that. It'll be lovely. Susan McComa coming out to do a tribute and stuff, but it'd be all and you'll all be old as well. All my fans will be old by then because, you know, the young people will be onto something else. They won't be coming. So it'll be basically in an old person's home, the memorial show. I hope you'll all come. You're all welcome. And I will sit at the back in a dark glasses and a sack because I want to see what everyone says about me. I definitely want to come to my own funeral. I'm planning my own funeral 100%. If my funeral is ever advertised, I'm telling you, look around, I will be there. I'm not having it after I die. I don't want everyone saying nice things after I've died. I won't be there. I won't.
Even if it's just a brain in a jar with a hat and some sunglasses on it.
I think I'll have it at the London Palladium. I think my funeral should be at the London Palladium.
Oh, here we fucking go.
I'm planning it. I'll be in the gods right up the back with some little opera glasses. No one else will be allowed up there. It'll be all locked off. Maybe in a box. Anyway, but not
in the
box.
Gods.
I'll be so she was in, where was she? She was in the box. And people will think we meant the coffin, which will be a stage coffin. Yeah. I will actually be in the royal box. Anyway.
Oh, I thought you were making a vagina joke.
Then.
Sorry.
I won't be in my own vagina.
Could be anyone's. Well, let's continue. Listen. Back to the gods. She's up there in the gods. She's up there with the gods. She's up there with Gandalf and Zeus and all the other shit kissers.
Excellent. This is. I'm working this out as I go, but I think it's a really strong thought. Mm. I will throw my own funeral, memorial guilt film show. I'll be at the back, big hat, sunglasses, and then I'm out. Like, basically, if I had died then, it would be fine not to do any more feminism. Right?
Yeah.
/ comedy / writing.
100%, yeah. It's always fine.
It doesn't feel fine for me now just quit, right? But...
Is that really bad? Almost every time I do a gig, just before I go on, I think, if you want, you can just walk off.
But you don't, and that's the key.
No, but I check that I know I'm allowed.
No, it's good to check in and make sure you're doing things intentionally.
Yeah.
But this is nice then, however long I've got left, it's going to be completely indulgent and selfish because in the real world, I've died. That's the narrative, right?
Yeah.
I think this is a plan. People are looking at me like they're not sure. But I think this is an amazing fucking plan. Yeah. Who's down for the secret death when you're elderly? I think it's a good plan.
Yeah.
So, listen, on that basis of that applause, I'm going to have a commune-style island.
Right.
Of a load of elderly ladies and people of minority genders who faked their own death, visited their own funeral, and come to live the last few years in absolute hedonism and decadence. It's just going to be... it's going to be just like a massive queer orgy.
really.
Oh, I think, yeah, okay. Lovely.
Would you be up for that?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't feel you're as sold as I am, but...
I just want to see what state I'm in by that age. I might be ever so tired. It was all sounding like I was well in, and then I thought, oh, that last bit sounds
exhausting.
Ever so tiring.
Oh, you don't... It's
I'm of an age now. Yesterday, I'm so old that yesterday I caught myself thinking, oh, you're going to have a full calf tea, are you, after 6 p.m? What have I become? But I've said that out loud. A full calf tea after 6 p.m.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But listen, I just need it to be clear. The orgy will not be mandatory.
Like it's, oh, right.
It's obviously consensual. It's a consensual island.
Well, if I'm not joining in, what am I there just to watch like a creep?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing
or is
wrong
there like an
watching.
Outdoor bit just for sunbathing?
Don't kink shame voyeurs.
I'm not kink shaming voyeurs. Absolutely was. I was kink shaming voyeurs. I'm so sorry. I never thought I'd say this. Only on this podcast. I'm so sorry, voyeurs.
So no, you can attend
creep
or
and
not.
Proud.
You're
creep and proud.
Listen, you don't have to even attend the orgy.
Okay.
Orgies will be optional and infrequent. Let's be honest. We're off. But occasionally, like first Sunday of the month or something, I think. Not every night. First Sunday of the month, I think, will be orgy night.
Okay.
For those who wish to partake.
Yeah.
Then there'll be, you know, topless Tuesdays or whatever. But it's just as it comes, that's to be decided.
Where's the balance here? If you want to coax me in, you need less of topless Tuesdays and more sort of extra clothes Fridays.
Well, you can be in charge of extra clothes Fridays.
Yeah, I'll do extra clothes Fridays.
Okay, I think everyone can just do what they want.
And everyone can just awkwardly look away from one another.
This is a very British island.
Yeah. My little corner of it is.
Yeah, I'm down for it. Yep. Do you have any more I'm a Feminist
but? Yeah. I'm a feminist, but I've run out of jokes about ninja school, so it's time to admit, at age 39, I don't really understand where the wee comes out. I say that as a queer woman. and in brilliant news...
I think it's just a hole.
Well, in brilliant news, I said this earlier to my partner, who's a woman and way gayer than me. And she was like, ah, oh my God, she had head was in her hands. Oh God, I can't believe you don't know. I didn't say I was doing it for this. I just said, darling, and where does the wee come out? And then she was like, oh, what? Oh, and then she went, it comes out the same bit. All the period comes out and all of that.
No!
She thought it came out of the main pipe. So I was like, no way, it doesn't come out of that. It might come out the clit. She was like, no!
It doesn't.
Neither of us knew. And we looked it up and it is not a very feminist hole. It's very shy. Tiny speckle of a thing somewhere around there. It is not proud. It's not leaning in. It is squirreled itself right away. Why have we been given a whole extra imperceptible concept of a hole?
Okay.
And people with penises get to do all the different fluids just from the one sort of dangly cloaca.
It's not a very feminist hole.
It's not.
I mean, how much more?
I've got a beautiful description
work.
Of
it's
it.
It's called. Is it called the urethra? The urethral opening, short narrow tube that carries urine from the bladder to the outside. But I don't think you can say your own urethra isn't feminist enough for you.
It's not. I don't know where it is. It's hidden itself away. It wants to be a little bit more sure of itself. I had no idea it even existed. My friend, brilliant writer called Rose Ruane, has described the wee hole, piss hole, as a very much valued member of the cast, but it doesn't do any of the showstoppers.
Wow. So it's...
Please, she's... an amazing author. Please look her up, Rosary. She's awesome.
Wow.
Everything she says is very funny. Okay, yeah, right. I didn't. Well, I had no idea.
A source of backing dancer.
If you went, put your finger on it now, I couldn't.
Well, I think it would be inappropriate.
No, obviously, no.
Here.
Now I couldn't for other reasons as well.
I mean, if you are going to.
Now I couldn't because there's no way the guest had ever come out if I just done
if
that.
If you are going to, please put it on your own.
Okay, yeah.
Just for the. You know,
yeah.
Because it's not the first Sunday of the month. Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminists with me, Deborah Francis White, guest host Jessica Fostercue, and our very special guest, Nicole Leckie, with music, Grace Petrie. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. Thank you very much. I think we either have to join in or not join in. So let's go for joining. So I'm going to go, I'll say the hypocrisies and insecurities and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. Strong word. I'm Deborah Frances White. With me is Jessica Fostercue.
We wish you a merry festive season. We wish you a merry festive season, area. Happy birthday to God.
Do you know, in our family...
Yes.
We sing... Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. When we, you know, when you bring out the brandy with the cake, the not cake. What am I saying?
I don't know that bit.
You bring out the plum pudding, and you know you light the fire on. You put
all the booze on. Yeah. Yeah. And one person eats one bite, and somebody took 4 years soaking it in a dungeon.
Exactly.
It's always Uncle Mike.
We sing because it's like a. We turn the lights out because of the.
Can I pick a bit of hair off your face? Mm.
We sing happy birthday to Jesus, happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
And when Steve came for the first time,
he's from Syria, didn't know any of the Christmas customs at all. Oh, we had to explain.
Think that was real.
Well, we had to explain things like there's a tree indoors, and you know, he'd be asking questions like, why do you put the presents in socks? And you start to realise how absolutely wild Christmas is when you're introducing it to someone who doesn't have the same frame of reference.
Oh, that's really nice.
And then we got to the point where it was happy birthday, dear Jesus, happy birthday to you. And I said to him, oh, Steve, just so you know, if you go to someone else's house at Christmas, that part's not normal. And he went, okay, he said, thank God. So no one else sets fire to a pudding. And I went, no, they all do that. It's just the song. And he went...
That's brilliant.
He was just flabbergasted by the number of weirdnesses... Up to and including Santa, because I said, do you have anything like that in your culture? And he went, do we tell children to go to sleep because a burglar's going to break in? No, we don't, because that's traumatising for children.
He's not a burglar, though, is he? He's giving, not taking. You have to say burglar backwards. Rob.
We used to leave a bucket of water for the reindeer.
Whoa, you've gone overboard. They can just drink... Snow. You don't leave a drink.
Well, I grew up in Australia and there was very little snow.
Of course. So you had to have like sunshine snacks. What did you leave out for them to eat? Just like fresh fruit and a margarita for Santa.
It was actually a beer. A beer.
Was it? A cold beer.
A cold beer and a piece of Christmas cake for Santa. And you had to give them... Can you imagine the reindeers in 40-degree heat? They would genuinely dehydrate if children didn't leave the water out for them.
Yeah. So let's not forget their imaginary.
You do not know if there are any children in tonight and their relationship with Santa.
From my language up until this point, I fucking hope there aren't any children in tonight.
If you're listening at home, we've edited that bit out because we don't want to upset the children who listen in the car. I mean, imaginary in your mind.
Yeah, sorry, the reindeers. What children are being allowed to listen to this?
It's a great point, actually. Okay, all right, fair enough. If we are to acknowledge that the patriarchy...
If you're listening, little one, when the one called Jess does her I'm a Feminist butts, go la 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 la.
Children, gender is a construct and so is Santa Claus. Please welcome
Jessica Foster Kuhl.
Hello. hi everyone. So at the moment I'm trying to put together I'm trying to get together. I've been lucky enough to make a whole radio series all about weightlifting. I really love weightlifting. Is anyone in here love weightlifting? Oh, a few people. I'm finding the material that I'm writing about this impossible to try at most gigs, because if you say, does anybody love weightlifting, no one cheers, and every time I've tried it, at least someone loudly goes no. people feel quite strongly about it. I think there's a lot of misconceptions about it. I mean, a lot of people think I'm not allowed to use her in my comedy at all anymore. I've made a pact, but I'm not allowed to talk about my mum. But I think a lot of people assume you mean bodybuilding, where you sort of eat a lot of extra protein and lift weights in order to become more muscular. But that's not like all weightlifting at all. That's assuming that all weightlifters are bodybuilders, because that involves masses of controlled eating and loads of stuff that I'm not interested in. But also, not disparaging that some people do it, are amazing, but I think it's a misconception. The vast majority of weightlifting is just picking up weights. It's just getting stronger. It's just the joy in the action itself. It's not about changing your aesthetic at all. Assuming that all people that lift weights are bodybuilders is like assuming that all people that go for a run are in danger of becoming Sonic. If you're a woman who lifts weights, you're never less than 10 metres away from a woman called Mum saying, "Ooh, wow, don't get too bulky." And you know, do you know the work that it would take to get bulky as a weightlifter? It's extraordinary. The effort it takes, the hours and the daily effort in the gym. You'd have to be in there for hours and hours every day. You'd have to be controlling what you ate. You'd have to be eating at times you didn't want to eat. You had to put an enormous shift in that the vast majority of people aren't interested in ever doing. And I think there's something very misogynistic in this idea of, like, let's don't get bulky, you mustn't get bulky. And also this, if you're going to the gym and lifting weights three times a week, you're not magically going to fucking turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger at the peak of his bodybuilding career. Assuming that everybody who lifts weights is going to do that is like assuming that anybody who tries swimming is going to become too dolphin-y. No one's going, can you just stick to wits, because I don't want you to get too dolphin-y. I don't want to end up having to hang around with Howard from Neighbours. He's so good at swimming he came back from a year at sea, just not even in a ship, just... He wrote himself back into a soap opera that he was a writer of a long time ago, and I need to get a much more topical reference. There's a bit still for that. I'm aware that weightlifting is very niche. I'm going to keep this quite brief tonight and just give you some snippets of it. I am also aware that lots of people aren't interested in it. I'm going to try and make it engaging if you've got no interest in it at all. I have tried to be good at types of PE that are less niche. I bet we've got people in who like swimming. Yes, I also like swimming, but I don't love it. It wasn't the thing that made me fall in love. I do like swimming a lot, but I find it very hard to find a middle place between, if you're doing lengths, sort of, it's getting boring now, and I've gone so fast, I'm too young to die. Also, open water swimming, absolutely lovely. I'm not quite there yet. Give me another decade. I know it's coming for me. Running, I bet we've got runners in. Yes, people love running. Some people it's just like, actually, no. I know, I do it as punishment for eating. Oh, right. It sparks some conversation. It tickles me. I did try it. I've tried it. I did the Couch to 5K app. I did the app. What a brilliant app. I say that because I finished it. I never thought I'd do that. Let's be clear, I didn't run 5K. But I did my bouncy walk for over half an hour. I never thought I'd run for half an hour. That is extraordinary that it worked. I did it with the brilliant voice of the amazing Sarah Millican, queen of stand-up comedy. You can choose a celebrity to guide you through it, and they give you like brilliant pep talks, and hers are amazing. You can just imagine how like awesome she is on there if you haven't had. She got me through it, basically. She was so good at it that I found actually that I'd hear her... Sometimes I hear in my head guiding me through other bits of life that I'm just pretending to enjoy. Do you know what I mean? I'll be like washing up for the third time that day and I'll hear her there going, "You never thought you'd be doing this 3 times a day. You're amazing." I'm doing the laundry for the 50th time that week, you know, and she'd be like, "If you keep going at this pace at the end of this, you can have a banana." I'll be doing a scrubbing the toilet, the worst of all the jobs, and I'll hear her there going, for as long as you can, continue to breathe in and out through your nose. Oh, I thought of the wrong one. And then it dawned on me, I don't think ever it was running 5K I particularly cared about. I'm pretty sure what I wanted all along was just compliments from a superior comedian. Running has never set my heart on fire. I fell in love with weightlifting when I started doing a type of movement for joy, not for any reason like to deserve to eat or to change my body or to chase an elusive 5 minutes of thinness. It took me into my 30s to go, well, you could just do this thing you find fun. And it's so joyful. Everybody will have different things that they find fun. I'm fascinated about it. So I've been having a go at various types of weightlifting, from strongman to powerlifting to Olympic lifting. And investigating it, learning about all these different types of stuff. I had no idea what the differences between these things were. It's so interesting. Some brief snippets. My current favourite lift at the moment is a powerlifting lift called bench press. I believe it's the most feminist of all the lifts because it starts with a lovely lie down. And that is nice. You lie down and then you get the bar from sort of above you to down to chest and back up again. And that's why I believe it's the most feminist of the lifts, is because it's the only type of PE I've discovered so far where it is actually sort of in your favour to have quite big tits. Olympic lifting is the most technical type of lifting. There are two lifts, that's it. You've probably seen Olympic lifting in the in the Olympics. Do you know the Olympics? You heard of them? Yeah, it's two lifts. They both got silly names. They're called snatch, grow up, and clean and jerk. One sounds like something you tell off a toddler for, and the other one sounds like a very efficient date night. And obviously, in the modern age, if you're going to practice as a lifter, you post your lifts on social media and stuff. So as a woman who does Olympic lifting, you're never less than 10 feet away from a man called Dave saying, no, snatch. in fairness to Dave, there are some similarities between the two types of snatch. A lot of men think it's a lot more mysterious than it is. Mastering both types of snatch involves timing, rhythm, and knowing the exact point to go from gentle to powerful. But ultimately, with both of them, it mainly comes down to just how quickly you can just get under it. Yeah, I think that's it.
Jessica Fostergill, everybody! Amazing.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah, just briefly interrupting to let you know that we have a big Guilty Feminist live show for International Women's Day at Leicester Square Theatre in London on the 4th of March. Get your tickets now. It's going to be a spectacular one. We'll be in King's Place in London on the 17th of March. Get your tickets now. We've been having some fabulous times recently back out at live shows. We miss you. Come back out. Get tickets soon, though, because a lot of them are selling out. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Even if you've rated and reviewed it before, it really helps other people find it. You can rate, review, and subscribe every episode if you want to. Please give us 5 stars. And tell people about the podcast online or with your face. You can also join our Patreon to get ad-free episodes. And now back to the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Our guest today is a writer, musician, actress, and executive producer, adapting her own critically acclaimed one-woman play, Super Ho,
into the critically acclaimed BBC drama Mood. Apparently the BBC weren't keen on it being called Superho. I don't know why. I love it. She has explored sex work, self-expression, and the weighty impact of social media on young women through a unique lens. She just won the Netflix Award for New Talent at the Women in Film and Television Awards and the RTS Award for Best Original Score. Please welcome to the stage the incredible Nicole Leckie. Come take a
hello,
mic.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello, Nicole. Thank you so much for joining us. Are you okay?
I'm pretty good, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hurrah.
Not bad.
Can you please tell us all about Superho? It just sounds like the best name for a show ever.
It is the best name for a show.
How come the BBC did the BBC not want you calling it Superho?
No, the BBC really did.
Oh.
Actually, the BBC were like
aspersions
all over it. It then got picked up to go global. And it was a bit like, is it going to travel globally in different languages and all the rest of that stuff? So we had to come up with a new name or have one name here and then a different name sort of in every country, which felt a bit complicated.
Yeah, no, it probably is a wise move, but I mourn the loss of Superho.
I do every day.
Can you tell us about the live show Superho and what it explored, what it was about?
So the live show, it was on at the Royal Court.
Nice.
And that was in 2019, which it was sort of...
In the long
I thought you were going to say like ages ago then.
Well,
that
is,
I mean, that feels ages ago though because of
the before times,
It's the before times, it is. It's in the long ago now.
Yeah, the sort of the forgotten yesteryear. And so I performed it there. It's just me. I did sort of all the characters... Wrote the music, sang the songs.
Wrote the theme tune, sang the theme tune.
Sang the theme tune. And it went down really well. It was great. And it's about a young woman called Sasha.
Yes.
And she's a wannabe musician. And she quite troubled. She's struggling with her family. Her sort of relationship has fallen apart. She's been with him since she was a teenager. And she gets kicked out of the family home. And she meets this influencer who leads her into the world of influencing and sex work. And that's the quite big journey she goes on.
Wow.
And when you came to translate this for television, were there any big changes that you had to make, or how did you lift it for the screen?
One of the big changes was kind of socially that happened, in that it was... she was kind of doing phone sex, actually, in kind of webcamming in the play version. And then when I was writing it during lockdown, there was obviously the big boom on OnlyFans.
Right.
And I was like, oh, if she was doing it now, it would be OnlyFans. There was a lot going on.
And did you consult people who did this kind of sex work?
Mm-hmm.
And how was that? What did you learn from that?
I mean, I learned a hell of a lot. I mean, even when I wrote the play, I was speaking to women on kind of Snapchat and things, people that were monetizing sex work through, you know, sort of using PayPal and getting access to you know, videos that they were making on Snapchat. And that's how they kind of had agency over it. And then when I sort of, you know, doing the TV show, there was a bigger team. So I had a researcher who could connect me with women who actually, you know, wanted to talk as well. But to be honest, I spoke to most women because I just hit them up. I sent them DMs.
Yeah.
And they just responded more personally to me because I was like, you know, I'm a writer, I'm writing this show.
Yeah.
This is my kind of perspective on it. I'm definitely not like anti-sex work or anything like that. And I'm kind of curious to know how you got into it, because I felt like there was a very... Just there was kind of the trope of what a sex worker is like or how they got into sex work. And I really wanted to kind of... look at a very normal, quote unquote, you know, woman who could fall into it, really,
and or in fact rise into it in some cases.
Yeah, like and rise,
you know,
definitely.
Like I feel like a lot of people who you know I've talked to have said, "This is a really amazing way for me to make a living, where I feel completely independent and safe, and that it's something where I'm not owned by anyone, and I'm not sort of controlled, or you know, I'm not going in and working for someone else for 8 to 10 hours a day for no money." What were the positives that people told you?
The positives, I guess, is the agency, is like you say, and especially now, cost of living crisis, all the rest of it. You're able to call your own shots, your own hours, make money. People also do enjoy having sex, you know, and enjoy meeting new people and kind of the experiences and the travel. Those were really the kind of the perks of the jobs, the kind of relationships that they had with the other women and those, you know, yeah, the relationships to kind of lean on. Those were, I feel like, the main positives.
I remember having like quite a revelatory time reading. My friend, a comedian called Sarah Pascoe, wrote a book called Sex, Power, Money on this topic and thereabouts. And I read it, but she did a podcast series with it where she talked to all different types of sex workers. And I had like so many moments of going like, oh God, I had no idea. I've never thought about it from that point of view. Did he have any, did you have any moments during the research for any of it where you were like, were you dug up any misconceptions that you had just built in from society or had any opinion?
I had my own like hang-ups where it was this thing because I didn't personally feel like I would do it. You know, I was sort of fascinated by it, curious, wanting to know more about it, but sort of, I guess, by the end of it, sort of depending on who I spoke to, I would think, well, actually, yeah, it does really work for you, you know. I think it's so personal to whoever you're speaking to, like whether you're speaking to a sort of 17-year-old who's doing it to somebody, you know, who feels like, you know, they really have made a decision to go into it. And I did come away from that thinking, oh, actually, this is like a brilliant job for you. This is kind of perfect. This is, you're not... you know, all those, like I say, all the stereotypes of look, you're forced into it or you're, you know.
And are there any, were there any negative sides to it that surprised you?
Again, I'm not sure if the negative surprised me because I think we're sort of thrown into, you know, often going like, this is what's so bad about sex work and, you know, it's this awful thing. So I think you are really acutely aware of like what the negatives are, but I think it's the
on OnlyFans though. I mean, obviously in sex work where you are in, you know, having contact with people that you can see, you know, all dangers of that job, of course, and downsides to that job, depending on the person and the interaction and the often the government structures around it. But in terms of OnlyFans, what are the downsides that are,
I think the kinds of mess, like even though you're not maybe being physical, it's still the level of, it's kind of like any social media, you know, it's like how you use
it. Access to you.
It's access to you and it's people that think they know you, they kind of own you. Why haven't you replied to me? Why haven't you got back to me in this length of time? And also the things that people still send you on OnlyFans. And also it can often be, you know, once you've formed a relationship with somebody, then it can become, oh, well, if I paid you this much money, would you meet me in real life? And then the temptation can kind of creep in and
And again, it could be, that could be a completely consensual
could be
situation. And
totally.
It could be something that you're resisting because that's a boundary for you, but someone's pressuring you. And
I mean, I think the most of the women I guess I spoke to were women who had really kind of fallen into it. It's not to say that they hadn't then made peace with what they were doing and were then happy, but I think most, the decision was mainly financial to go into sex work. You know, it wasn't sort of, I just love sex and like for the most part, the women I spoke to, it was definitely looking at hidden homelessness and people sort of exchanging sex and, you know, kind of that abuse of power, sleeping on somebody's sofa, which, oh, actually, if you sleep with me, then, you know, and very, very complex.
Actually. And the show goes into those places.
Yeah.
And so
really
you must
does.
Have had to research it very thoroughly. And then you also look at the impact of social media on young women and how presumably one thing bleeds into the other.
Yeah.
What are your insights from that?
I mean, I have a very murky, like, I don't know, relationship even with my own social media, you know, and how I use it and
I do just think it can be a force of good or a force of evil, essentially, social media.
We were talking in the green room about how I should probably join it, show off some of my dances.
Well, I do think you should do that.
Do you have a lift, a TikTok for
lifting? No, I've just got one very confusing Instagram that people come to because they hear I'm a comedian and they go, why is it all PE?
It's PE, yeah.
Why is it all PE?
I'd watch it.
Can I just say, you've won an award for an RTS award for original score.
I have, yeah.
And does that mean are you a composer or you sing your own songs or both? Or?
Well, I did also write and work on the score with the composer.
Amazing.
Because there's original music in the show and we kind of wanted some of the original songs to be built into the score and have sort of a repeated kind of theme melody across the series.
So, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I was in Sainsbury's though when I got the award.
Why were you in Sainsbury's?
Brilliant.
Because I didn't feel very well. And then, so I wasn't able to go to the award show.
You were well enough to go to Sainsbury's.
Did you send them a little thank you video
from Sainsbury's? Because that would have been the most baller move.
No, and do you know what's really funny? I thought, well, I definitely haven't won because, like, you'd have to send a video, surely. And I really didn't feel well. And I was like, it's probably fine. And they didn't ask me for a video. And then I was in Sainsbury's and got a text. And I was like, oh, no. I'm like here buying soup.
So you could have been up there on the stage in a glittering gown.
Coughing, but yeah, I could have been.
Well, listen, if you'd like to give your thank you speech now.
Oh my God, no.
You can go. No. We can make this.
It can't be more awkward than when I picked Debs up. You missed a bit earlier.
Oh, we could have made
half a piggyback.
Oh, we could make me the award and you could give her me.
I could present you as the Royal Television Society Best Score.
Absolutely. Well,
your prize is...
We are...
It's a whole person.
Debs.
It's a person.
Debs! We are
Queen of
so thrilled that Mood is doing so incredibly well. And you've won Best Newcomer for the Netflix Award for New Talent.
I was there for that.
You were there for that.
Yeah.
You learned.
I'd love it if you were like, for that one, I was actually an M&S.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just touring the shopping.
It was a slightly more glamorous award, so I went to Waitrose.
Yeah.
But when I get my BAFTA, I'll be in Harrods. listen, I'm really excited to see what you do next, but also very excited to watch Mood, which is on iPlayer now. If you are in America, it's on AMC, the same place as Mad Men, my favourite show. So check it out. If it's not in the country where you are, demand that it is.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure that it will be soon. Are you working on anything else at the moment?
I am. I am back writing TV, film, all kinds of things.
Really. Please let us know when you're doing whatever you're doing next. And please look out for the incredible Nicole Leckie.
Thank you.
And keep that applause going for the wonderful Grace Petrie. Grace, are you going to sing us? Hello, are you going to sing us a song?
So I've written a very commercial, feel-good Christmas song. This is my attempt at one of those. Okay. The fairy lights are twinkling. The mince pies smell divine. The Arctic Circle's sinking, but let's have a jolly time. Oh, I've come here to be festive, not bring the mood down low. So let's get Shakin' Stevens playing on the stereo. Oh, I'll make a batch of mulled wine to fill me with good cheer. I'll go and visit Santa, and when he turns to me and asks me what I really want for Christmas morn this year, I'll say that I just want the Tories to fuck off and stop ruining our lives and dismantling the country. I just want the Tories to fuck off, 'cause too many folks this year are spending Christmas cold and hungry. Unless you are a millionaire and very close to death, the there's no way that their policies can help you. So I just want the Tories to fuck off. It's the decent thing to do. What do you think, Guilty Feminist Christmas number one? You're thinking you don't want to hear me moan. It's Christmas time, not question time, just leave us all alone. But it's hard to feel too merry when there's brand new coal mines planned and sewage in the ocean and the gas bill is £4,000. And I'm scared of loved ones dying waiting for an ambulance. How many basic failings will it take to stop you voting for these cunts? I just want the Tories to fuck off and stop ruining our lives and dismantling the country. I just want the Tories to fuck off, cause too many folks this year are spending Christmas cold and hungry. Unless you are a millionaire and very close to death, there's no way that their policies can help you. So I just want the Tories to fuck off, it's the decent thing to do. They've lost support, at least according to the polls. So maybe we might get them out next time. Then I guess we will have Labour, who might be sort of fine, but still pandering to racists and tinkering on the margins of our planet's undeniable decline. Merry Christmas! I just want the Tories to fuck off. Yeah, that's all I'm asking for on my Father Christmas letter. I just want the Tories to fuck off, because deep down in my soul I believe we deserve better than private dental practices and overcrowded trains and waiting hours for ambulances, refugees on planes, and our postal staff and railway workers, nurses forced to strike, and Matt Hancock on TV doing what he fucking likes, and 5 PMs in 6 years who just fuck things up and flee. That's why all I want for Christmas, yeah, all I want for Christmas is for everyone to sing it now with. I just want the Tories to fuck off, want the Tories to fuck off, want the Tories to fuck off. I just want the Tories to fuck off, want the Tories to fuck off, want the Tories to fuck off, everybody! I just want the Tories to fuck off, 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 just want the Tories to fuck off, want the Tories to fuck off, want the Tories to fuck off!
Everybody! Merry, merry Christmas, Grace Petrie. Can I have a big round of applause for Grace Petrie? Woo! Big round of applause for Chloe Petz. Chris Sharp, who does our sound, who's always here, even on Christmas. And Tom Selinsky, who's out the back with a clipboard going, get off the stage now. And everybody at King's Place. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminists with me, Deborah Francis White, guest host Jessica Boscue, and our very special guest, Chloe Petz, with music from Grace Petrie. Recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The Guilty Feminists theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge. Thanks to Zoe, Sally, and everyone at King's Place, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com. I'm really excited to see what you do next, but also very excited to watch Mood, which is on the BBC. And is it also on Netflix?
It is not on Netflix, actually. It's on BBC or AMC.
Okay. So I'll say that again then. I'm also very excited to see Mood, which is on BBC. When will it be on?
It's already out. It's on iPlayer now.
Okay, let me take this again.
oh, here we go, mates. It's buckling.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.